Thank you. Good, we're working. It's good. So, the question is, and there's no points for this answer. There's maybe no point to the question, but it's a different thing. Do you want to see one of the most prayed for puppets in the world? Yeah. Do you know, Jeremy gets prayed for regularly. Hey, so don't worry. It's just one of these things that happens. So, there you go. Well, I have also known people in England that didn't know me to be praying for me and Jeremy that were coming. And then to be very angry when they discovered they were praying for a puppet. But anyway, these things happen. There you go. Where is he?
He's in the box. Does he want to come and see us? Well, I think he does.
Come on, Jeremy. Come and see us. Oh! Hello, everybody! Hello! Jeremy, good to see you today.
Oh, I'm glad to come.
Yeah, and
do you like the look of me?
I don't know if I do like the look of you. Why should I be liking the look of you?
Because usually you tell me to get tidy.
Yeah.
To wash myself.
Uh-huh.
I don't need to today.
You don't need to today?
No, because guess what I've got?
What have you got, Jeremy?
I'll show you.
You'll show us?
Here it is.
What?
It's soap.
You've got soap?
Yeah.
So you've been washing with soap and water?
That's why I got it.
You got it so you could wash with soap and water?
Yeah.
And not need to use your paws to lick them and clean yourself up?
Yeah.
Right.
So I thought that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And you know what flavour it is?
Flavour? You don't get a flavour of soap, Jeremy.
It's got oranges. It's made of oranges.
Really?
And it's flavoured with oranges.
You mean it's scented with oranges?
Is that different?
Yeah, that means you'll end up smelling of oranges.
Oh, cool. I like oranges too.
Yeah.
As well as bananas.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've got the soap?
Yeah.
Why?
To keep me clean.
Yeah.
Do you think it's working?
Well, no, Jeremy, I don't really think it's working.
You know it?
No.
You don't think I smell of oranges?
No.
And you don't think you look clean?
No, I don't think you look clean. Because I've noticed something.
What?
The soap is in its packet.
What do you mean?
The soap doesn't do you any good to make you clean unless you get it out of the packet and you use it with water and wash yourself.
The water's wet.
And all water's wet. That's the whole idea.
And you wash yourself with it.
Yes.
And the soap.
And that's what makes you clean.
It does.
And you're not going to be clean just by owning a bar of soap.
You think not?
No, that's not going to work.
You need to use it.
Yes, you need to use it. You need to get it out of the packet and into the sink and wash yourself.
They know that.
Yes, the children know that. So you do.
And the older ones.
Yeah, and the older ones.
And the really old ones.
Never mind the really old ones. Jeremy, you're not supposed to say things like that. Anyway.
Sorry.
Don't go offending my audience. It's bad enough as it is today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, that's what you need to do.
So I need to try it one day.
Aye, one day you'll need to try it and that'll be fine.
Because you need to use it properly.
You do need to use it properly. And you know, Jeremy, it's a bit the same when it comes to having our sins washed away and being made ready for heaven.
What do you mean?
The Lord Jesus came and died on the cross.
I know that.
Yeah, but he died there to wash away our sins so that we can be made ready for heaven.
And that's good, because everybody will go.
No, that's not good.
Why?
Because for a lot of people, it's like having the bar of soap in the packet.
What do you mean?
they're not taking advantage of it, they're not using it properly, it's not going to make any difference for them. Why? Because they've never trusted the Lord Jesus, they've never asked him to wash away their sins, they've never invited him into their lives to take their sins away.
Well, that's not good.
And that's not going to work for them. And just like your soap needs to be used properly with water and you wash yourself with it, or it doesn't do you any good.
I think I'm getting it.
The Lord Jesus dying on the cross isn't going to make any difference in a good way for us unless we trust him to wash our sins away, because we know that we need that. And we believe he died on the cross to do it, and we ask him to do that for us.
And then he will.
And then he will, yeah.
And you'll be clean inside.
We will.
And ready for heaven.
Yes.
And that'll be better.
And that will be better. So I think you better get your soap out of the packet and use it, Jeremy.
And they better make sure they trust the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
So they can be in heaven.
So that we can be in heaven. It's the only way for him to apply his saving work to us when we trust in him to be our saviour.
Okay.
But I think you should put that soap down just now, Jeremy.
Okay. Put it down here.
Put it down there.
Oh, cool.
Uh-huh. And do you know what you need to do now?
Oh, no. They're watching and they'll laugh.
Well, if you didn't want them watching and laughing, you should have used the soap and water before you came. Come on, make yourself look better for the folk today. I mean, it doesn't help a lot, but it does help a wee bit. And that's better, Jeremy. And then maybe I'll not get complaints about the way you look.
How's that?
Yeah.
I call that a lick and a promise.
You call that a lick and a promise?
Yeah. See everyone. Bye. See ya.
Right, he's away with the soap and everything. So, hopefully we can see the screen. And the Bible reading that I've got for us today, it's a wee bit long, but we'll read it anyway. It's from 2 Kings chapter 5. It's verses 1 to 19. And the good news is it's on the screen. Might not be good news for you, but it is for me, because it's bigger and I can read it. Because reading out of a small print Bible nowadays is more of a challenge. So it says, "Now Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in his master's sight and highly regarded, for through him the Lord had given victory to Aram, and he was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. At this time, the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken a young girl from the land of Israel, and she was serving Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would go to the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went and told his master what the girl from the land of Israel had said. 'Go now to the king of Aram, and I will send with you a letter. I will send you with a letter to the king of Israel.' So Naaman departed, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 suits of clothing, and the letter that he took to the king of Israel stated, 'With this letter I am sending you my servant Naaman, so that you may cure him of his leprosy.' When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and asked, 'Am I God, killing and giving life, that this man expects me to cure a leper? Surely I can see that he is seeking a quarrel with me.' Now when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Then Elisha sent him a messenger who said, 'Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean.' But Naaman went away angry, saying, 'I thought he would surely come out and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and wave his hands over the spot to cure my leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not have washed in them and been cleansed?' So he turned and went away in a rage. Naaman's servants, however, approached him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So Naaman went down and dipped himself in the river Jordan 7 times, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored and became like that of a little child, and he was clean. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God, stood before him and declared, "Now I know for sure that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will not accept it." And although Naaman urged him to accept it, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much soil as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make a burnt offering or sacrifice to any other god but the Lord. Yet may the Lord forgive your servant this one thing. When my master goes to the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and I lean on his arm, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant in this matter." "Go in peace," said Elisha. And may God bless the reading to us today. Now here's the question. The question is, how did you come today? I don't mean did you get the bus, or did you come in a car, or did you, you know, be very green and walk or cycle or something like that. But I'm wondering, what was your attitude? What were your thoughts when you came along today? How did you come today? And the other question will be, how will you go away? Will you just go away the same as you came? Or will you go away in some way different because you've been here at the service today? I wonder how you came. Well, I want to think with you for a wee while this morning. Is it still morning? No, it's afternoon. Today, we'll go with the Australians today and just say today. Anyway, I want to think today about Naaman. And I want to think about Naaman and how he came to Israel, how he went to Israel. And then we want to think about Naaman and how he went home from Israel. And also I want to think with you about Naaman and how he almost went home from Israel. So that's where we're looking today. Naaman was a great man. You might not be able to tell it from the picture. He worked for the king of Aram, and he was a great soldier. He was very, very courageous. He was a mighty soldier. He led the armies well, and they fought battles and won. And so he was a great man in lots of ways. He had risen up the ranks, and he had got to the top of his career. But somehow now he was a leper. Leprosy had come, a horrible disease that affected his skin. It would spoil his life. It would eat away at him. It would ruin his career. It would ruin his prospects of life in the future. And life for him was really very much spoiled because of the leprosy that he had. And sadly, when he was living, there was no cure for leprosy. Now, I understand that nowadays many people still have leprosy, but fortunately and happily, if they can get the right medicine, it doesn't cost very much money, and it can be kept at bay with the medicine that they take. But when Naaman was here, leprosy was like a death sentence, and there was not really any hope for him, except a wee girl that they had brought as a slave to work for his wife as a slave, brought her from Israel, and she said, "Oh, if only my Lord was with the prophet, if my master was with the prophet, he could make him better." And she spoke with confidence about what the prophet would be able to do, because he was a prophet of the God of heaven, and the God of heaven had power to make people clean and better, even from situations like leprosy. Well, Naaman's wife told Naaman, and Naaman went to tell the king, and the king said, "It's worth it, you should go. Go and try it." And he promised what he would give him. He said, "I'll give you a letter to take with you so that you get the best treatment, and you can take plenty of gold, plenty of silver, plenty of suits of clothes, and I don't know if you clocked it in the reading, but there was a lot of gold and a lot of silver, and the suits of clothes would be like designer clothes that were worth a lot of money in these days. And these were the things he was willing to take with him and to pay if he had to, so that he could be made better from his leprosy, because he had figured out that the thing that was most important wasn't so much how much money he had, but whether he was going to be healthy or not, because sometimes that's what matters more than how much money you've got. If you haven't got your health, what good is your wealth? And so he was willing to go and to spend all this cash and give all these gifts if he could be made better. Well, he got to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel tore his clothes. Folk in the Bible tore their clothes quite a bit. It's a wee bit reckless. I mean, I don't know whether they were pretty bad clothes or whether they were good clothes, but they tore them quite a bit. But it showed that he was in great distress and was very anxious about all this. And he had just read a letter that said, "I'm sending Naaman for you to make him better." And the king of Israel thought, this is him picking a fight. He wants to come and invade us again. He wants to take away more of our children to make them slaves. This is terrible. And he was really distressed and didn't know what to do. But the problem was, Naaman had gone to the wrong place and he'd gone to the wrong man, because the wrong person, because guess what? He hadn't listened properly. Oh, do you know any people like that too? Well, sometimes that happens, doesn't it? You get people that hear things and they don't really listen properly. Or sometimes they don't listen properly because they've got their own ideas about who it's going to be that will help them. And they go to the wrong place and the wrong person. And that's not a good thing. It wasn't for the king. It raised his stress levels, something terrible. And it wasn't any good for Naaman, because he wasn't going to get made better. He'd gone to the wrong person, and that was a tragedy. But the man of God heard about it, and he sent his messenger to the king, saying to the king, "Send him along to me, and he'll know that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came, expecting something amazing and something dramatic and something that he could really send a message home about. I don't think they even had postcards in these days, far less social media, but he would be able to talk about it for a long time when he got home. And he thought, the man will come out and he'll do something awesome. But he didn't even come out himself. He sent his messenger out, and the messenger just said, "Go to the River Jordan and wash 7 times. And he thought he'd been insulted by being told to go there. He thought, "What? Go to the River Jordan? It's a horrible river." And by the way, I don't think he was wrong. According to what they've told me, the Jordan isn't a particularly nice river, and was a bit mucky and horrible, and it wasn't nice at all. And Naaman, to put it mildly, was angry. And he thought, "No, I'm not going to do it." And he was going to go home, back to his own country, after having travelled for miles and miles and possibly even several days to get there, because they didn't have transport like we do. And so he was prepared to go home angry, still with his leprosy and with all his cash and gold and silver and clothes and everything else, but absolutely livid because of what he'd been told. He says, "The rivers in my country, the Abana and the Pharfar, they're beautiful rivers. And they'll tell me to go in Jordan." If it was just a case of washing in a river, could have done it there. And he was so angry. But fortunately, some of his servants came and reasoned with him, and they said, "Come on, if you'd been asked to do a great thing, would you not have done that?" And he goes, "Yeah, of course, I'm Naaman, I do great things." Well, they said, "Can you try this simple thing?" Well, it wasn't so simple, was it? Because he had to climb down from his perch that he had put himself on, or maybe that other people had put him on, and to kind of humble himself a bit that he didn't really want to do. But he agreed to it, and he went into the Jordan. And fortunately for him, he obeyed the message. And he went to the Jordan to wash himself. seven times. One, two, three, no, three, four, five, six. There it was, seven times, and he was clean, and he was smiling, and he was happy, and he was over the moon, because he had been healed. His leprosy had gone. It was like a new baby's skin that he had. And he was so pleased and he was so happy. And he wanted to go back and see Elisha, the man of God. And he wanted to give him as much as he wanted. Take all these clothes. Have all this gold. Have all this silver. There you go. Take it all if you want. Pick something you like or take it all. I don't care. He was just so happy. And Elisha said, no, I'll not take any. Really? I didn't make you better. It was God in heaven that made you better. And as the Lord lives, I'm not going to take anything. Keep it all. It was free because it came from God. And Naaman couldn't believe it. And he encouraged him and tried to persuade him. But no, he wouldn't take it. So he said, okay then. Although I'm really pleased, but give me two loads of soil. Imagine taking back two mules loads of soil, dirt from Israel. And he said, I'm going to take that dirt, that soil, and because I've been healed and because I'm happy, I'm going to be ready to worship God and to honor him. And on the soil of Israel, I will worship and praise the God of Israel. And he was going to stand on it or kneel on it or lie down on it, I don't know. But on the soil of Israel, he was taking back that wee patch of the two mule loads of soil. He was going to worship the God of heaven. And he says, if I have to go with my master to the foreign god that isn't real called Rimmon, and he's worshiping there and I'm meant to go with him and I have to bow down, I'll only be kidding, he says. I really, in my heart, am worshipping the God of heaven. May he forgive me for that. And Elisha said to him, go in peace. He didn't say, no, don't do that. He said, go in peace. And he went. So there was Naaman that came to Israel with his leprosy. And here we are today, and we've come to the service, and some of us maybe have come still with sin in our lives that would keep us out of heaven, that would spoil our lives, that would bring us to a sentence of eternal death, which is even worse than the kind of death that Naaman might have been facing, to be punished by God forever for our sins. But maybe you've been before, or maybe you've heard somebody speaking about the good news of the gospel before and telling you that there is a way by which your sins can be washed away and you can have eternal life in heaven. And there's good news, and you've heard the good news of the gospel and you've come hoping that it'll make a difference for you. Well, Naaman came with all his stuff and his own ideas about how he should be made better. He didn't realize it was free. And sometimes people today think you've got to pay to get to heaven or do a lot of kind of work to get to heaven, like community service or something like that. If you've been bad and you don't get a prison sentence, but you do community service. And some people think that's the way they get to heaven, but it isn't. It's a free gift of God, which he gives to people who come and obey him, accepting that they need him and willing to humbly receive what he has to offer. And so it was free for Naaman, but he took all that stuff. And what matters most for us is the question here now, isn't it? Is it what we have now or what we'll have in eternity? Some people are too worried about what's going on now and not about eternity. Like Naaman, he might have been worried about his wealth until his health packed up, and he thought, that's more important than my wealth. But you know, when we think about the lives we're living here, yes, God wants us to be happy. He wants us to have the fullness of life, but he doesn't want us to ignore him and leave him out and to ignore the fact that we don't live here forever. And we need to be prepared for eternity, to be with him in heaven with eternal life for eternity, because that is what is more important. Sometimes today people look to the wrong places and the wrong people for the things that they need. They look to religion. Religion doesn't save us from our sins. They look to science. It's not got the answer for our sins. They look to education or to wealth or position in life. Loads of things that people like Naaman long ago would want to have today, but they're not the answer. And Naaman discovered they weren't the answer, but he did find that when he went to the man of God, there was good news, which didn't sound like good news, but it was news for him that he could be made clean. And the good news for us, weirdly, is that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved. And it's a strange thing. We would think that blood may contaminate us if you're in a situation where something's bleeding. You might think, oh, I'm not touching that. That'll maybe pass on germs or contaminate me. But when it comes to being cleansed from our sins, it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes us clean. And people think, I don't like the sound of that. A bit like Naaman in the River Jordan saying, oh, that's a horrible idea. I've got a better one. We can't use a better one because there isn't another one that works. So it ain't better if it doesn't work. But the Lord Jesus died on the cross, the only way by which our sins can be forgiven. And we can believe in him and be saved from our sins and have everlasting life. It's simple. It's not dramatic. There isn't always flashing lights and rumbles of thunder and earthquakes and stuff like that. These things have happened for certain people in the past and still do happen for certain people nowadays, but not for very many. And Naaman wanted it to be showy and dramatic. That's not the way God works. But in the quietness and in the stillness, wherever we are, he can come to us and wash away our sins when we're humbly prepared to listen and to obey. And obeying the word of God is what Naaman did. And he discovered that he was made clean. And when we too obey and are made clean, that's when we, like Naaman, will be delighted and so pleased that the Lord Jesus has washed us from our sins, and we'll be singing like the first song, which I can't remember now. Oh, happy day, that fixed my choice. The time when somebody trusts the Lord Jesus is not just a happy day, but it goes on from there with joy and gladness and ready to worship the Lord and to honor him. And you don't need a bit of soil from Israel to do it on. We can worship and praise him wherever we are and glorify his name. And that's a great thing. So I'm coming back to the question, how did you come today? Did you come with sin in your life? And maybe your wealth and your pride and your hopes of finding the answer of eternal life. But then the question is, how will you go away? Will you go away still with the sin, still with your wealth, still with your pride, and a bit of anger like Naaman had, and no hope, because he nearly went home with no hope? And many a person unwilling to listen to what God's word is saying, or not listening carefully enough, like Naaman with a little girl that took him to the wrong place and the wrong person, he goes away with no hope. But we can have that hope because we can come to the Lord Jesus. We can have our sins washed away. We can be happy. We can be ready to worship God. And as it says there, watch how you go. How will you answer the question today? I hope you'll answer it wisely and properly and well, and obey the word of the Lord and be blessed by the Lord and be made clean by the Lord and go home rejoicing because of what God has done. Let's give thanks to God and pray. Father God, we praise you that you have provided a way of salvation for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way. But we give thanks that he is the way, and we can depend on him. And whether we like the idea or not, may we be willing to obey and to come to him with faith and humility, confessing our sins and being made pure and clean, and going on our way rejoicing because of what the Lord Jesus did in dying for us on the cross at Calvary. So we pray that you will help us as we think on these things and bless us as we make our way into the rest of this day and this week. We bring our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.